هاني ابن عروة المرادي was a companion of أمير المؤمنين صلوات الله وسلامه عليه إمام حسن عليه السلام and حسين عليه السلام. And he was also one of those who played an influential role in supporting the uprising of Muslim ibn Aqil in Kufa. But who was Hani? How did he live his life? And how did his life end in the glorious state of martyrdom? This is Unsung Hero. Hani ibn Urwa was from the tribe of Madhij in Yemen, a tribe that converted to Islam at the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Therefore, ever since that time, he always witnessed Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi as the epitome of Islam. After Iraq was conquered by the Muslims, Hani went and migrated to the city of Kufa. He was known as one of the reciters of the Quran in that city, which is quite a lofty position at that time. And he was also one of the chiefs of the Shia of the city as well. As the chief of the Murad tribe, Hani commanded an extremely lofty position in the eyes of the people of Kufa, such that when he would summon all of the soldiers under his command, over 30,000 soldiers would gather. Some years later, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamhu alayhi attained his rightful status as the Khalifa of the Muslimin. During the Khilafah of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Hani stayed at the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam, participating in all of the battles, including Jamal, Siffin, and Nahrawan, as one of his closest companions. Once the fitna, or the sedition, of Jamal was quelled by the forces of Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamhu alayhi, Muawiyah blew the trumpets of war from the Levant. At this time, Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamhu alayhi wanted to leave immediately to quash this rebellion and nip it in the bud. But the people of Kufa were afraid. They didn't know whether they should go or not. During these sensitive moments, a few of the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, some of the cream of his companions, and some of our previous unsung heroes as well, including Malik al-Ashjar, Amr ibn Hamiq al-Khuza'i, and today's personality, Hani ibn Urwa, they all arose and they announced their support for Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi, saying, لَيْسَ فِي حَرْبِهِمْ شَيْءٌ هُوَ أَخْوَفُ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ وَلَسْنَا نُرِيدُ إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ فَسُرْ بِنَا إِلَيْهِمْ وَفَّقَكَ اللَّهُ لِمَا تُحِبُّ وَتَرْضَى. In war, there is nothing more fearful for them, that is the people of Kufa, than death. And we only want death in the way of Allah, so lead us to them. May Allah grant you success in what you love and desire. Hani stayed alongside his Imam in the battles of Siffin and Nahrawan, fighting bravely for the sake of his Imam and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, dark times had come to pass. Imam Ali alayhi salam bade farewell to this transient abode in the lofty status of martyrdom. And Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam was forced to sign a peace treaty with Muawiyah, meaning that the power transitioned from Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam to Muawiyah, may Allah's curses be upon him. During the time following Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah wa salamhu alayhi and between Imam al-Husayn's uprising, not much is known about Hani ibn Urwa. In fact, the main thing that's really known about him during this time is that he was a very strong supporter of the uprising of Hujr ibn Adi, who again was one of our other unsung heroes. Hani's father, who was a staunch Shia himself, also joined Hujr ibn Adi's uprising. Once Hujr was defeated and he was sentenced to death, Muawiyah also sentenced Urwa, Hani's father, to death. However, Ziyad ibn Abi, that's right, the father of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, the butcher of Karbala, interceded for Urwa due to their long friendship from the past, and Muawiyah allowed Urwa to go free. Now, let's fast forward around 8 to 10 years. Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, this ruthless governor, has taken control of the city of Kufa and is hunting down every single sign of support for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. But there still remains a little bit, maybe even a glimmer of hope for this movement still. After all, the messenger of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Muslim ibn Aqil, was still in the city. And he was preparing the Shias to uprise against this tyrannical governor. As soon as Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad arrived in the city of Kufa, Muslim moved from the house of Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubayd al-Thaqafi to the house of Hani ibn Urwa, transforming it into the base of his own operations. Now, one of the cunning methods that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad used when he entered the city of Kufa was, as soon as he arrived, he invited all of the tribesmen and the chiefs of the great tribes of Kufa. Now, why did he do this, you might ask? Well, it's quite simple. He invited them all so that he could bring them and identify which ones were supporting Muslim ibn Aqil. And he threatened all of them, telling them that if you were to support Muslim ibn Aqil, we will kill your men and take your women and children as captive. Now, if you remember, we already mentioned that Hani ibn Urwa was the chief of the Murad tribe, which was one of the biggest and most prosperous tribes in the city of Kufa. So he was also invited to this gathering. However, Hani ibn Urwa was the host of Muslim ibn Aqil at that time, and he was worried for his safety. So he made an excuse and just told Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, you know, I'm ill, I can't come in this time. However, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad was smarter than him. He suspected that Hani was not telling the truth and that he wasn't really ill, and he was actually hiding something. Here, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad used one of his cunning tricks. He employed one of his close friends named Maqil to go and investigate the Shias of Kufa and eventually find out where Muslim ibn Aqil was hiding. Eventually, Maqil managed to infiltrate the ranks of the Shias to an extent that he had regular meetings with Muslim ibn Aqil in the house of none other than Hani ibn Urwa. Once Ubaydullah's suspicions were confirmed about Hani, he ordered his men to bring Hani to the court with great respect so that the people would not be suspicious about what was going on. When he arrived in the court, Ibn Ziyad blurted out, "Hani, where is Muslim?" Hani replied that he didn't know where Muslim was. But as soon as Ibn Ziyad called his friend Maqil out, Hani realized that everything had been revealed already. Hani told Ubaydullah, "I swear to God, I didn't invite him to my house. He just came unannounced." At that point, Ubaydullah told him, "Then you must bring Muslim to me." However, Hani, this great champion of wilaya, replied to Ubaydullah saying, "Even if he were underneath my feet, I would not lift them so that you could arrest him." Subhanallah. Imagine having such loyalty that even when you're faced with certain death and a bare sword, you are not willing to betray the trust of your Imam alayhi salam. When Hani said this, Ibn Ziyad ordered his soldiers to bring him closer. And when he came closer, Ibn Ziyad lifted his cane and struck him on his forehead, breaking his nose and splitting his forehead into two. Imagine Hani, a man in his 90s, being struck on his head so hard that his nose breaks. Normally, most of us would fall on the ground and cry. But Hani ibn Urwa, this champion of resistance, rushed to the nearest soldier who was armed and tried to take his sword out to strike Ubaydullah. But unfortunately, he was overwhelmed and thrown into the dungeons of Kufa. If you remember, we mentioned that Hani ibn Urwa just had to give the word and over 30,000 soldiers would gather in his support. After all, he was the chief of one of the greatest and most powerful tribes in the whole of Kufa. So you can imagine that when they heard the news that their chief had been arrested, they surrounded the governor's palace with their swords unsheathed, demanding that their chief Hani ibn Urwa be released. However, Ubaydullah was a very cunning man. He sent Qadi Shurih, who was the chief justice of Kufa, to go and tell the people that Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad had just detained Hani ibn Urwa and he was just asking him a few questions. He wasn't arrested. Ubaydullah also sent one of his servants alongside him to make sure that he didn't say anything that would endanger the position of Yazid in Kufa. So, as Qadi Shurih was making his way to the gate of the mansion, he walked past the room in which Hani ibn Urwa was being imprisoned. He called out to Shurih and said, "O Shurih, fear Allah, this man will kill me if you do not tell them the truth." However, unfortunately, Shurih paid no regard to the calls of Hani ibn Urwa, and he continued on his way to the gate of the mansion. He calmed the people of Madhaj who had surrounded the castle, and he told them Don't worry about your chief Hane. He's completely fine and he hasn't been arrested or imprisoned at all. The governor has just detained him to ask him a few questions, that's all. When the people of Madhij heard this from Qadi Shuraih, they accepted his words at face value and they all dispersed, believing that Hane ibn Urwa was completely unscathed and he was just having some tea with the governor inside. After all, one of the conditions of being a judge in Islam is that you must be truthful. When the emissary of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Muslim ibn Aqil, heard what had happened to his close friend Hane ibn Urwa, he was enraged. He wasn't simple-minded like the rest of the people of Kufa, and he understood what had truly happened to Hane. Immediately, Muslim called for his men to mobilize, and they took over the city of Kufa, besieging the palace of the governor. However, unfortunately, once again, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad relied on the simple-mindedness of the people of Kufa, using dirty tactics, such as spreading rumors amongst the people of Kufa that the army of the Levant is just outside the gates of Kufa, and if they succeed in their rebellion, the army will rush inside and slaughter all of them. Eventually, Muslim ibn Aqil was deserted by his followers, and he was taken captive and martyred by Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad. 18,000 warriors had paid allegiance to Muslim ibn Aqil, but now all of them had hidden in their homes, fearful of an army that was based merely on a myth. By now, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad knew that the Shias of Kufa had been suppressed and they were too scared to do anything, so he knew he could do whatever he liked. On the same day on which he had martyred Muslim ibn Aqil in such a cruel manner, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad ordered for his men to bind Hane's hands and execute him in the marketplace in open daylight. When they were in the marketplace, Hane kept calling out, "Ya Madhij, why is there no one from the Madhij to support me today? How can I get the Madhij to support me?" However, his calls fell on deaf ears. The people were terrified and they refused to leave their houses. When Hane realized that there was no one coming to help, he freed his hands and he called out, "Is there no sword, stick, rock, or even bone a man can defend himself with?" Eventually, the soldiers of Ibn Ziyad managed to overwhelm Hane and they tied him tighter than before. They told him to outstretch his neck so that they could execute him. But this great man replied firmly, "I will not be generous with my neck and I will not assist you in murdering me." At that moment, one of Ibn Ziyad's slaves named Rashid al-Turki struck Hane, but the strike did not affect him whatsoever. Hane understood that this was the end, so he called out, "Ilallahi al-ma'ad, Allahumma ila rahmatika wa ridwanik." The return is to Allah. "Ya Allah, I turn to your mercy and to your pleasure." At that moment, the accursed struck his neck, beheading this great companion of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim wassalam. And thus, Hane ibn Urwa al-Muradi attained the lofty status of martyrdom. However, like many of the martyrs of the movement of Ashura, the tragedies that befell Hane did not end with his death. Once this esteemed individual was martyred, his head was sent alongside the head of Muslim ibn Aqil to Yazid in the Levant. On top of that, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad ordered for Hane's body to be dragged to the dumping ground of Kufa and hung in such a filthy place. May Allah have mercy on him and shower him with blessings. So now we know who Hane ibn Urwa was, how he lived his life in this world, and how he left this world with the lofty status of martyrdom. So remember, if we wish to leave this world a martyr, we must first live in this world as a martyr, wherever you are.